Good afternoon, everyone. Praise the Lord and welcome again to the Hour of Power. God bless you all. We're going to turn it over to Sister Mary. Pray that everybody will engage in the Spirit of the Lord and we will all be blessed. Welcome again. Good morning. Good afternoon. Go ahead, Sister Mary.
Good morning, sirs. Good morning, ma'ams. Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon. We're going to present it to the Holy Spirit to take over. Father, we present it all to you. We lay our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, our tongues, and all that we are. We put it on your altar. Deal with them, Lord, the way you want to. And let all the glory go back to you. Thank you, Father, for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to deal with the topic, Be Ye Not Unequally Yoked. Wrong associations. And the way the Lord explained things to me, it's putting myself in yoke with the Lord. Now, the first question that I want us to look at is, what is a yoke? From the dictionary, it says it is a curved piece of wood, a harness used by oxen and other animals to ease the work of hauling a load. It is a designation of servitude and carrying the burdens of a task or mission. Yoke was also used to connotate slavery, servitude, or influence in relationships, whether family, work, or religious. Now, we're going to look at Deuteronomy 21:3, where one of the earlier places where God talked about yokes. It says, Deuteronomy 21:3, and it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, this is a case of God's consecrating his people, and he is talking about one slaying the other. And he's saying, and it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take an ephah which had not been wrought with, and which had not drawn in the yoke. The main bit is oxen, cattle, they are used to mourn, to clear the field, or to carry some burdens. And usually, more than one cattle or oxen or whatever, they are yoked together, put together, so that it will be easy to do the work of the hauling of the load or to actually do the work. Now, the main theme of this title was there in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. And we're going to look at it, 2 Corinthians 16 to 18. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord at Christ with Belial? Or what part at he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This signifies God asking us to be yoked with him, to have communion with him, to be his sons and daughters. And for us to really qualify for it, we must ensure that we have no communion with darkness, because God is light. And he wants us to ensure that we don't have anything whatsoever yoked to evil, unto evil. He wants us to keep our temple, our bodies clean, so that he can dwell in us and he can be our God and he can tabernacle himself in us fully, and we will be his sons and daughters. Now, the question is, Jesus said we should take up his yoke, his own yoke. And what that means is we should be in subjection unto him. Jesus wants us to hand over the reins of our lives to him. He wants to take full control, and that we can find in Matthew 11:29. Matthew 11:29. I'm going to read from verse 28 to 30. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All that he wants, just like we read in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, he wants us to be yoked with him. He wants us to have perpetual communion with him, perpetual alignment with him. And that is why he says we should come, we should take his yoke. We should be under his control. We should be under his subjection. We should always, in everything we do, ask counsel of him. Now, the main story that we're going to look at is all centered against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, a king after God's heart, a king who knows God, but decided to have alliances with three kings. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah and Jerusalem. He was the king over those two nations that broke away when there was that rebellion against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Jehoshaphat ruled over two tribes, while Ahab ruled over 10 tribes and is the king of Israel. There in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, actually the whole chapter talks about this man. Jehoshaphat already had riches and honor in abundance. But verse 1 tells us that he joined affinity with Ahab. And then at a particular point in time, after separating himself and facing God, living for God, he decided to join affinity with Ahab. And then he went down to Samaria. And this time, much as some miraculous things happened midway, the bottom line is, the Bible records in verse 2 that in verse 1, that he had affinity. Affinity is clinging to something, being together, having this relationship that is deep, and that friendship. He could have stayed on his own because he is already having a heart after God. Then Ahab tried to make feast and all the stuff when Jehoshaphat got to him. But then in verse 3, we were told that Jehoshaphat was persuaded by an evil king, Ahab. He was persuaded to go to war, which he never prepared for. He did not prepare for it. He didn't know anything about it. God did not tell him ahead of time. But then he let himself to be persuaded. And then verse 4, Jehoshaphat said unto thee, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Yes, his ways are still guiding him. The fact that he knew the Lord was still guiding him. He asked that we should, that they should listen. He tried to ask counsel and tried to find out the Urim and the Thummim, the word of God. However, the king of Israel believed in his entourage of prophets. And just like Pastor had told us, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, issues are expected to be settled. But in this particular case, we have 400 prophets of Baal, which are attending to King of Israel, Ahab. And all the 400 decided to have just one voice. And that, yes, he should go to that war in Ramoth Gilead. And that God is going to deliver the king of Syria into his hand. Everybody had one voice. But then, just like we were taught by Pastor Yato, that spirit of discerning kicked in into Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat said, no, not that word that are the mouth of two or three. I want the word of God. Is there no other prophet? And then the issue of Micaiah that came in. And when Ahab said one of his officers should go fetch Micaiah, the officer told Micaiah, everybody is looking one way. We have this unity of purpose or unity of word, and that the king should go to war at Ramoth Gilead, and I'm sure he will win. However, Micaiah, also a child of God and a devoted prophet, said, well, it's only what God tells me. That is the only thing I will say. But God, who knows every heart, who knows everything, we always reveal himself to his prophets. And that is why Isaiah 8:20 tells us, to the law and to the prophets, if whatever they say does not come to pass, then that shows that they don't have anything to do with the word of God. And in this particular case, we find Zedekiah, and who made horns of iron, just to demonstrate that the king will be successful at war in Ramoth Gilead. However, when Micaiah came, Micaiah decided to play along. And he also said, yes, go, you will succeed. But then, I'm sure the way and the gesture that he brought up must have told Ahab, this guy is not telling the truth. And all that Ahab said, how many times? That's in verse 15. Shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? This is a man who wants to serve God and is also wants to serve Mammon. That is Ahab. We have seen in some of his previous demonstrations, like the time when Elijah told him, it is you and your household that is really disturbing and hurting Israel. and there are other prophecies given to him, at that time, he decided to repent. And because God wanted to punish him, and for his repentance, God pushed this particular evil to the time when his own son will come on the throne. Just because for that material time, he repented. So here is a man, Ahab, an evil king. He wants good things from God. He wants so beautiful things. Yet he is always there to serve Mammon. And then at the end of the day, God's word prevailed. Micaiah told the truth. And notwithstanding that Ahab was told the truth, Ahab would not take it. And then you find Zedekiah slapping Micaiah, and at the end of the day, thinking he is in charge and he should call the shot. And in verse 21, he said, I will go out and be, Micaiah told the whole group that God decided to kill him. And that God, that he saw that a spirit was told to put a lying tongue in the mouth, a lying voice in the mouth of all the prophets. And therefore, Ahab will go to war and be destroyed. And when he has explained to him in this way, Zedekiah slapped him, thinking he was in charge and it can never be Micaiah. However, at the end of the day, what happened? We found out that the king decided to go to war. He decided to go to war, but he now told Jehoshaphat, disguise, put on your own clothes. I will disguise. And when I do, we can then go forward from there. He thought he could hide. And unfortunately, the king of Syria had already told everyone, the only person I need is Ahab. Once he's destroyed, everything else can go. And at the end of the day, he disguised himself, but evil still came upon him. Jehoshaphat could have been killed, notwithstanding that he had been warned by Micaiah. He could have been killed because he was the one that dressed as the king. He showed himself in his own costume. He wore his own clothing while Ahab disguised himself. And when the captains of the chariots faced him, they would have killed him. But verse 32, that is one of the places where I really appreciate God for who he is. Notwithstanding that mistake, notwithstanding that Jehoshaphat was warned, and yet he still went to war, which God had already told Micaiah, this is the truth. At least this is what God had done. Notwithstanding that, God still helped him. The captain of the chariots of Syria would have killed him, but he cried. They compassed him. They thought he was the king of Israel. They would have killed him, but God had mercy. Verse 31 says, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. Just the finger of God. It really makes me glad knowing that God cares for his own. He could beat them with a stripe, with some stripes, but then whatever he wants or whatever he has planned will come to pass. And in this particular case, God spared Jehoshaphat, but he will always do what he will do. And verse 33 says, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot, turn thy hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased, and at the end of the day, the Syrians won. Now, looking at this particular case, one would have thought Jehoshaphat would learn. He was the one who went to make that affinity. He was the one who decided to go to Samaria to join forces with Ahab. However, he never learned. There in 2 Kings chapter 3, Jehoram, who is the son of, just bear with me, who is the son of Ahab, was ruling. And rather than for Jehoshaphat to have learned, he refused to learn. He refused to learn. However, he decided he will go and also still join forces with Jehoram. But before we go there, let's also look at chapter 19 of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 19 of 2 Chronicles. We found out that in chapter 19, he still had alliances. He had alliances, and he was, notwithstanding that he is a good king who put his heart to seek the Lord, he still decided to go and form alliances yet. 2 Chronicles 19:3 says, he was unequally yoked with the ungodly and loved those that hated God. So we will look at 2 Chronicles 19:2-3. First, after that war, the Ramoth-Gilead war, he went back home. He returned to his house in peace. And verse 2-3 says, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the grooves out of the land, and hast prepared thy heart to see God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem, did Jehoshaphat set the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they return to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. Now he set things right. He went back to his country and he set things right. At this point in time, from all that he did, he tried to make things right. He put everything to ensure that Israel followed God. He set the Levites in their order. He set up the judgments the judges and in charge them to do right. He wants everything to be in order. And one would have thought, yes, he has repented and he will really keep that way. However, in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, he had issues himself. There was war. There was a case that involved the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they came and waged war against Israel. However, still going further, because he feared the Lord, he gathered all Israel. He called for a fast, and everyone decided to seek the face of the Lord. And with it, he cried unto the Lord. He reminded God about his word when Solomon was dedicating the temple. And that was in verse 8. And he told God, he said, look at the Ammonites, look at the Moabites, whom you have said that Israel should not invade. Now they have come against Israel and they want to destroy them. And God, he cried unto the Lord and he asked God, will he not judge them because they were many? However, God raised his word. Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, upon him came the Spirit of the Lord. And he declared forth and told Israel that they would not need to fight in the battle and also that they should not be afraid or dismayed by reason of the great multitude. Because God himself, whom Jehoshaphat has challenged, will fight for them. Now God gave them specific instructions in verse 16 to 17. He told them that they should go down the following day. They should go down and they will find them at the end of the brook. That is, they will find the Ammonites and the Moabites at the end of the brook. And then God told them that they will not need to fight, but that they should stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then God instructed that they should sing praise to him. And that is one of the miracles that really happened. Having people with praise organs, people appointed by Jehoshaphat going ahead of the army because he believed the Lord. He knew God. He appointed singers and they praised the beauty of holiness of the Lord our God. And God had to fight. God fought that battle. And at the end of the day, Israel won. And God sent ambushment against Ammonites and the Moabites. However, a time came, just like I did mention. He still went back and had alliance again with the king of Israel, Jehoram, the son of Ahab. That's in 2 Kings 3. And all that he did, he had been ruling 12 years. And however, he went, in verse 2, he went and had alliance again with the son of Ahab. Now, in verse 4, there was a case where the king of Moab revolted against Jehoram, the son of Ahab. And just like it happened in the time of his father, Jehoram also still asked him to come to war. And in this case, He agreed, and that was another bet. He agreed, which when I think about it, I just wondered, why will this king not learn? He repented at a point. He turned to the Lord fully. He put structures in place to serve the Lord. He took Israel back to God. And then he went into wrong alliance again. And this time, with the son of the of Israel, with the son of Ahab, who from whom he should have learnt a lesson of the battle at Ramoth Gilead. And verse 10 says, and the king of Israel said, alas, that the at this point, what happened in this particular case is they did not find water. Verse 7, just one moment. Verse 5 says, but it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab had rebelled against me. Will thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way shall we go? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, making three of them. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the hosts, and for the cattle that followed them. Another big lesson that God wanted to teach Jehoshaphat. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord had called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. This is an evil king accusing God. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And because of their evil ways, Elisha has to seek a minstrel, someone who played music, just like in the case of Saul, that David had to play music to get rid of the evil spirit tormenting Saul. The same way, Elisha has to ask for a minstrel, someone who play music, so that he could hear from the Lord. And he told them in verse 16, and he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, for thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stone. And so it happened. Verse 21. Now this same water that God gave was the same instrument that was used to destroy the Moabites. The water was flowing, and so much, and all that the Moabites can see is red. The water at that side looking as red as blood. There in verse 22, and they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they are smiting one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites even in their country. And that was the way the three kings and their people prevailed. Well, one would have thought this would be enough for Jehoshaphat. We also saw him having an alliance with Ahaziah, another king of Israel. Now going to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 35 to 37. He decided to make ships between, so that they can trade, they can have a joint trade between himself and Ahaziah. 2 Chronicles 20, 35 to 37. And at the end of the day, because God is not satisfied with it, that trade never prospered. This we have seen. Three instances that Jehoshaphat, rather than ensuring that he faced God alone, he still decided to always have alliances, ungodly alliances. In 2 Chronicles 19, 1 and 2, he was confronted by Jehu the seer, telling him that he's helping the ungodly and loving those that hate God. In this case, I'm sure one will be thinking, is it wrong to help an unbeliever? No. My own answer and my own understanding is it is not wrong. However, in copying the ways, it is wrong. It is wrong in aligning with their ways. This particular one demonstrated to us wrong associations in this case. Jehoshaphat had two times gone to war that he never prepared for. He had also deviated from what he should be. He allowed himself to be persuaded by an ungodly king. And that is why God has to send Jehu to confront him. So, for our own ways, our own lives, our own times, what should it be? Where should we stand as believers? Now, there are some scriptures that I will want us to consider. Isaiah 32:5-8 says, "The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountifully. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will walk iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and it will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand." These kings were evil. These three kings, kings of Israel, they were evil. And he knew fully well they were evil. However, one thing or the other, he must have copied from them. One thing or the other, the Bible says that he joined affinity. In which case, it's been reported that he had some association that are not right with them. And in looking at this, for us as believers, what should we do? 1 Corinthians 5:11-12 says, "But now I've written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is even called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within." This is Paul talking. In this case, copying the ways is not right at all. And that is why, for a brother, that possibly fell into sin, the Bible says that we should, looking at ourselves, try to put them on the right path. Try to bring them up from how and where they had fallen. Also, looking at ourselves. And also, not copying their ways, or after we put them right and they're not willing, Paul was saying we should be careful not to keep company with them, so that the name of the Lord will not be, aspersion will not be casted upon the name of the Lord by unbelievers, other unbelievers that will see us and feel, no, this man is not living right, and here is another believer copying his ways. The main thing is copying the evil ways, not a situation where we are helping them out. Because I was just thinking about it, we should always put out the word of God. We should always seek help, to help and to ensure that they are in line with the word of God. We should try to put them right and ensure that they repent and they turn from evil. 1 Peter 4:1-7 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, we should arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest, that we should no longer live the rest of our life and our time in the flesh to the lust of men, but we should leave it to the will of God. For in the time past of our life, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Titus 3:3-8 says, for we ourselves also, we are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of our righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things, Paul was saying, I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Also, in Ephesians 4, from verse 17, it says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, this is charging us that how we should live and what we should do. And verse 21. If so be that ye have hardened and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wrong association will only lead to corruption. We should watch what we do, how we go, who we associate with, and how will it impact the name of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 says, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and ye may have lack of nothing. Ephesians 2 tells us about how God had quickened us. We used to be dead in trespasses and sins, and now he saved us. Now we have in verse 8 where it says, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Also, we were charged in 1 Corinthians 10:21 that we cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. We cannot serve God and mammon together. So we need to make a distinction. We should rather attract the ungodly to God than they in any way influencing us, making us to tread in the path of evil. Romans 8:16-17 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Also, 2 Corinthians 4:1-2 tells us, seeing that we have the ministry and we have received mercy, we faint not. But that we were charged to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, laying ourselves down there so that the name of the Lord will not be talked against. Also in Colossians 4:5-6, he said, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And Jesus himself charged us in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Jesus, before he left, and sent for the Holy Spirit, he told, when he was praying in John 17:15 especially, he said, the Father should not take his own out of the earth, but that he should keep us from evil. Verse 16 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Jesus sent us for a purpose. He wants us to proclaim his name, to proclaim his righteousness and his holiness, to tell the world that he paid a price, and that when we abide in him, and we are right with him, we will be his sons and his daughters. Proverbs 11:5-6 says, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Therefore, we should, just like Matthew 5:48 says, we should be perfect, just as our Father has asked us to be. We should avoid wrong association. We've seen the case of Jehoshaphat. 3 times he made alliances. He decided to walk in the path of evil. For God to have sent Jehu to him, to try to curtail him, to try to talk to him, he must have overstepped some boundaries. And God tried to put him right. The word of Jehu made him to repent. And he started putting things in place, causing Israel to go back to God, putting structures that would make Israel to serve God. However, he never learned in totality from it. He put his life on the line 2 times. First with Ahab, he almost got killed, but God had mercy. He also put his life on the line with Jehoram, and yet God helped him. He had mercy. They were able to get Elisha, who told them and gave them a word from the Lord, and also called forth or prayed for water, and God gave them water so that they will not die of thirst. Now, Revelation 21 told us that he that overcometh all these things, all this evil, all these unequal alliances, will overcome. And he that overcometh all those shall inherit all things. And God says, he will be our God and will be his son. Verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What should be our outlook? What should be our ways? What should we as believers, how should we behave in these times? Anything whatsoever that will sway our judgment to tread in things, is to tread against what God has set down, our wrong associations. Anything, anybody, any situation at all that will sway our judgment to line up with wrong things, they are those things that are yokes. They are yokes, and we must break them. Yokes of bondages, yokes of anything, wrong association of any kind. And God is asking us, we should overcome. So our prayer is that, Lord, give us that grace. We seek your grace because he alone owns that ability. Is there anything in my life, in your life, in any of us that tends to have one affinity or the other and we have not overcome? God is able to break that yoke for us. God will help us and he will deliver us to the uttermost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, we lay ourselves down before you, Lord. Search us, O Lord, and see our hearts. Empty us, O Father. Purge us. any area where we have wrong affinity, wrong associations. We don't want to be servants to wrong associations, Lord. We don't want to be servants, oh Father, to wrong alliances. In any way whatsoever, we're asking you for grace that we break free today and always, all to the name of your, in the name of your, of Jesus Christ. We ask, oh Lord, that you will prevail in our lives, that we live our lives for you and you alone. All in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen.